You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire.
Proofpoint finds Transparent Tribe, an active cyber espionage campaign against Indian diplomatic targets. Black Energy's role in the Ukrainian grid hack still isn't fully explained. PawnStorm spreads to Turkey. Ransomware hits Max, but for now seems brushed aside. Apple collects more friends in the court. And the University of Maryland's Jonathan Katz discusses what we need to know about SSL security in our web browsers. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Monday, March 7th, 2016. Proofpoint finds an active cyber espionage campaign targeting Indian diplomatic and military personnel. Transparent Tribe, as they're calling it, seems most active against Indian missions to Saudi Arabia and Kazakhstan. Several Pakistani IP addresses are said to be involved in the campaign, which uses a mix of phishing and waterhole attacks to distribute the MSIL Crimson Remote Access Trojan. There's no attribution offered in the reports beyond the circumstantial implication of the Pakistani IP addresses. The correlation of Black Energy espionage malware with December's attacks on the power grid in western Ukraine is well known, but what causation might lie behind that correlation remains obscure. The likeliest link would still appear to be Black Energy's involvement in credential theft. Max have so far enjoyed a degree of immunity to ransomware. No more. The legitimate BitTorrent application Transmission has become enmeshed in what appears to be the first ransomware campaign directed against Mac users. The strain is being called Corranger. Palo Alto Networks reported the attacks to Apple last week, and Apple took quiet steps at week's end to interdict the ransomware. Once those measures were in place, Palo Alto made a more general disclosure. Trend Micro has identified another new form of ransomware, Cerbear. They say it speaks English, literally. It repeats, attention, attention, attention. Your documents, photos, databases, and other important files have been encrypted in a robotic female voice. But, Anglophone or not, it's being sold as crimeware in the Russian underground. Cerbear offers payment instructions in the form of images, which suggests its authors are taking a page from the old Revitan playbook. TrendLab says Cerbear looks easily configurable by criminal users, and thus that we can expect to be seeing more of it in the future. Observers marvel with varying degrees of informed surprise at last week's announcement by U.S. Defense Secretary Ashton Carter that the Americans have offensive cyber weapons and intend to use them, at least against ISIS. In DoD descriptions, that use has sounded a lot like jamming, adapted and updated for use against internet-based command, control, and communications. Some of the worries are of the potential for collateral damage, but the comparisons to and contrasts with the early years of the nuclear age seem overheated. Apple draws more industry support in its dispute with the U.S. FBI over unlocking the San Bernardino jihadist iPhone. As tallied by Apple Press Info, 17 amicus briefs and 3 letters to the court have been filed in sympathy with Apple's case. And you may have heard that the San Bernardino district attorney weighed in last week on the side of the FBI, expressing his fears that the phone in question contained a lying dormant cyber pathogen designed to infect the county's networks. He's since clarified, Ars Technica reports, that it's a claim unconnected with any particular evidence. The DA would just like to be sure there's nothing to it. From time to time, we like to share new products that catch our eye here at the CyberWire. Packet monitoring can be an important part of protecting a network, but higher speeds and fatter pipes can make long-term storage of packet data impractical. Savius has launched a product called Vigil 2.0, which they tell us allows you to capture suspicious packets from before and after an alert. Jay Botello is Director of Product Marketing at Savius.
Vigil knows what is suspicious based on usually systems that customers already have in place. So they have an intrusion detection system or an intrusion prevention system, and they are looking for known threats. And what Vigil does is Vigil monitors all of those alert feeds, and in addition, it is always capturing packets. So it has storage of packets. So when it sees an alert, then Vigil goes into the buffer, extracts the packets that it's already saved around that conversation, and then continues to save packets for that conversation for the configured period of time. And that's one of the key elements is, you know, not only are we able to do it for a long period of time, but we're able to actually get the packets from before the alert was actually triggered. And that's quite important because there's just a lot of processing delay in these alerts, right? The alerts see something of importance, but by the time that processing is done, the real packets that caused the alert would have already gone by. But with Vigil, we've captured those so that we can go back and get that important data that was really the data that triggered the alert in the first place.
There's more information about Vigil 2.0 at savius.com. We'll be taking a look back at RSA this week. We'll have 3 special reports on the conference beginning tomorrow when we discuss what we heard about cyber threat intelligence. This will be followed later in the week with reports on emerging technologies and on trade and investment. In the meantime, see the links in the RSA section of our daily news brief for late-breaking announcements and retrospective takes on the conference. Finally, a hail and farewell to Ray Tomlinson, the godfather of email, who passed away Saturday at the age of 74. Tomlinson implemented the first email program on ARPANET back in 1971, selecting the @ to separate user from host. Our thanks to him and our condolences to his family and friends. Remember Ray Tomlinson whenever you use the @ and think of a life well led.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its Zero Trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustAI. Don't struggle to align your organization's cybersecurity with business risk. Get the only solution that goes beyond reacting to threats with vulnerability and risk monitoring. You need the next evolution of MDR, and only Critical Start delivers it. Critical Start doesn't just monitor and respond to threats. They put you in control by detecting suspicious activities, quickly responding to contain threats, and identifying your most critical assets and protecting them against vulnerabilities and exposures. With continuous visibility, expert guidance, and measurable risk reduction, Critical Start has redefined what it means to manage cyber risk. Demonstrate provable security maturity to your leadership while positioning your program to achieve the greatest risk reduction per dollar spent. Stop fearing risk and start managing it with Critical Start. Visit CriticalStart.com and request a demo today. That's CriticalStart.com.
Jonathan Katz joins me once again. He's the professor of computer science at the University of Maryland, and he's the director of the Maryland Cybersecurity Center. They're one of our academic and research partners. Jonathan, SSL browsing. I think most people, when they see the little lock icon on their browser, they see that and they assume that they're safe. How accurate is that assumption?
Well, it's a complicated question, actually. The protocol itself, at a high level, is pretty secure. It's been cryptographically vetted in various ways. And the components of it at a high level are by now pretty well understood. The challenge with SSL is that there's this entire ecosystem around it, and there are so many different points at which things could go wrong that, unless you're completely sure about what's being implemented both on your browser as well as what's being implemented on the other end on the server, and checking for this lock icon on your computer, you do run the risk that something can go wrong.
So let's dig in a little bit on that. What kinds of things can go wrong?
Well, just as an example, so the SSL protocol is supposed to ensure that you, the computer user, know for certain that you're speaking to the entity at the other end, let's say Google. And the fundamental piece of information that lets you verify that is an authenticated copy of Google's public key. And so you have this entire public key infrastructure that's developed around making sure that you, the computer user, are able to obtain an authentic copy of Google's public key. And one of the issues with that is that current browsers ship with these hard-coded public keys for certification authorities that are supposed to vouch for the validity of other people's public keys, like Google. But in reality, if you look at the set of certification authorities that are included in modern browsers, they include all kinds of companies from all kinds of countries, including outside the U.S., that we know really nothing about. And we don't know anything about their security practices. We don't know how easy it would be to coerce them or bribe them to issue a fraudulent certificate. And ultimately, if they're able to be subverted in that way, and you end up as the user getting an incorrect copy of Google's public key, then all bets are off, and even the best protocol in the world won't protect you.
Obviously, browsing securely is better than not, but how safe should we feel?
Well, I think that the modern browsers do a reasonably good job. They're very good also about fixing any flaws that are identified by security researchers. Like I mentioned earlier, the user does have to check and make sure that they're accessing a site by HTTPS and not by HTTP. The user, of course, also has to verify that they're accessing the site that they intended. A lot of phishing scams rely on just changing one character in the name of a well-known website. And then if you're not careful and say you go to a website with G00 GLE rather than G00 GLE, then you might be accessing a site and authenticating to them, and you believe that they're who they say they are. But in fact, you're not authenticating to Google, you're authenticating to another company. But modulo those things, I think overall the average user is safe.
Jonathan Katz, thanks for joining us.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. And now a word from our sponsor, Netskope. Netskope is a worldwide leader in SASE and Zero Trust. Its unified platform, Netskope One, provides optimized access and Zero Trust security for people, devices, and data anywhere they go, helping customers reduce risk, accelerate performance, and get unrivaled visibility into any cloud, web, and private application activity. To learn more about how Netskope helps customers be ready for anything on their SASE journey, visit netskope.com.